You're listening to Penguin Radio.
Hang on, mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
Hey, this is DJ Unspoken on radio.dominican.edu, doing my last show of Keeping It Real Talking Cafil. For today's show, Karina and I will be talking about things surrounding the holidays and recapping items from my last 9 shows and discussing things that really stuck with us personally. And as always, real words of the day at the end. But first, for the last time this semester, my Real Feel segment. So the first item on Real Feel segment is that being a student athlete, I hate that my breaks are short. I don't get to go home for Thanksgiving. I only get a week home with my family for Christmas break. And I know it's a sacrifice I have to make being a student athlete, but it just kind of sucks because I miss my family a lot as being far away from home. I'm from Texas, and being all the way in California, I don't get to see them a lot except on FaceTime. Your thoughts on student athletes?
I mean, I think it sucks as well. I mean, I can only imagine. I'm a very family-oriented person, so not being able to be around my family only, you know, as a, I guess, just a student, I can only imagine not being able to be around your family during the holidays and stuff like that. And it sucks too, because if you have, you know, someone, a significant other on an athletic team, and you know, you want to spend the holidays with them, whether it be Christmas or your birthday or Valentine's Day, you know, if they're away, it sucks.
Yeah, I know it's a sacrifice we have to make, but I just miss my family. And I know that some of my teammates, being born and raised here in California, get to go home anytime they want to, and me only getting a week out of, you know, the whole school year to see my family is kind of like, all right, well, I just want to go home sometimes. I don't even want to be here because I miss my family so much. Well, the second item on our list is two-faced people. And you actually picked this item, so you can go ahead and start.
Alrighty. Well, I mean, I hate two-faced people. It's very unfortunate. I've seen the fakeness a lot lately, and it's just been irking my last nerve. For example, you know, I have I wouldn't even call him a friend, but I have someone who hit me up the other night about some girl who I'm not particularly, you know, best friends with, but I'm, you know, I don't hate her either, and was talking mad trash about her. And, you know, it bothered me because, like, when I looked at his Snapchat, it's like they were hanging out together. And I was like, how are you going to hang out with somebody and then talk, you know, smack behind them behind their back? Like, that's not cool. So it just really irked my nerve. And now I know that, you know, you really can't trust nobody. And if you're going to be two-faced, at least make one of them pretty.
That's some Marilyn Monroe quote or whatever. Something people had correlated with Marilyn Monroe. I actually have the tattoo of Marilyn Monroe on my arm. So that's the quote I wanted, but I didn't get because it was just too much space on my arm and it was already painful. But yeah, I agree with you. I do not like two-faced people. And I don't like how they show you one thing and then do something behind your back, as well as, like, being friends with two-faced people is also something I'm not a fan of, because they could sit here and be talking to you about somebody and be doing the same thing behind your back to somebody else, talking smack about you to somebody else behind your back. And I'm just like, you know, that's not for me. So I don't have friends up here on campus, because it's just not a healthy thing for me. The next item on our list is roommates. Dominican University of California. So roommates, I mean, I like my roommate. She's nice and everything else, and she's great. And, you know, she's not there all the time, so that helps a lot, because I get to have the room to myself. But when she is there, you know, sometimes the room can get a little dirty, and I have OCD, so I always have to have stuff clean and order and neat, and just having that dirtiness, and, you know, she doesn't clean up all the time and stuff like that, it really irritates me. And then sometimes inconvenient when, like, her boyfriend's there and she's not there, and he's just sleeping in the room. I'm like, okay, why are you here? Like, she's not here, so why are you here? I don't understand that. Your thoughts on roommates?
I definitely haven't had the best roommate situations, I should say that. But this year I got kind of lucky. Yeah, she is a kind of dirty. Yeah, I would say more than kind of. But I mean, I try to work things out. I clean what, like twice a week. And I mean, it's still dirty. But at the end of the day, all you have to, all you can do is really just live with it. I mean, that's what you got to do. There's precautions you could take in order to, you know, do all that. But that's a whole mess of drama that you don't need.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, roommates are great because, you know, some people are just scared of the dark or don't like to be alone. And, you know, having a roommate there, it's great. But for me, I like being by myself. I don't like having that extra person there because that's an extra mess I have to clean up or extra thing I have to be aware of sometimes and things like that. So that's just not for me. But, I mean, so far I've had good roommates. Not particularly last year I didn't. That's a whole nother story. For a whole nother show because that's just a whole mess in itself. But the next topic is ungratefulness, and you also chose this item, so go ahead and take it off.
Well, this also, I guess, correlates with my roommate situation. I'm the type of person, I know that I'm privileged compared to, you know, a lot of other people, but I also know that I don't have it as well as, you know, other people do. And especially during the holiday season, it's hard to know that, you know, there are things that you're not going to be able to get, and, you know, which is fine by me, but my roommate is very, I guess, fortunate. She always, I guess, she told me the other day, okay, mind you, we're in college. I'm 20, going to be 21, and I believe she's 20. She told me she sent her parents her birthday and Christmas wish list. And God forbid I would send my, like, it's just, to me, it's like, you don't understand, like, how hard people have it. Sometimes she says, like, really just selfish things. And I guess I don't like people who aren't grateful. And she gets mad at me all the time because she'll say something and she'll be like, oh, like, I hate my life or certain things like that. And I'm like, there's people in the world who have bigger problems. There's people dying in the world. And she'll be like, be quiet. I'm like, I'm serious. Like, you should be grateful for what you have. And I mean, I shouldn't say that, you know, I'm perfect, because there's times when I'm like, oh, I hate today, or, you know, things like that. But I try to remember, I try to keep it in the back of my head, like, yo, you're privileged beyond belief, you know, compared to other people. So I can't stand people who just are ungrateful, selfish.
Well, you just, you know, took that topic to a whole nother level, so I'm not even going to get into that, because I don't like ungratefulness either. So this is finals week here on Dominican University of California campus, and I only had, four finals, I think. And two of them, I have to go wake up at 8 a.m. and turn in a paragraph. And I'm just like, why can't I just email that to you? Why do I have to get up at 8 a.m. to see you again to turn in a paragraph? Like, let's be real. I'm tired of seeing you. Just give me my A so I can graduate. That's all I want to do. I don't even know why we're still having this discussion. Your thoughts on finals? Because I cannot stand finals.
I understand if people have tests and stuff, but it's like, like you said, if it's an essay or something, you should be able to just email it. Thankfully, for me, I have an essay due tomorrow, and I can just email it to the teacher. I do not have to go in and see him. But I think the times are a little crazy. I mean, people must know that, you know, we're up all night studying or doing whatever. So why would they make 8 a.m.? That's just, that, to me, that's not okay. I need my beauty sleep.
Okay, you keep striving for that beauty sleep. So the next thing is, how expensive things get around the holidays. And I know for sure that things get crazy expensive around the holidays. And, you know, I try to, at least if I do buy gifts or get gifts that I, you know, I ask people for, try to ask them really early on, so the cheaper they are, they don't have to spend that much on me. Your thoughts on expensive, because you picked this topic. You picked three of these topics. So go ahead.
Well, I'm the type of person, I love to shop for people. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love to shop for myself too. But during the holidays, I always, I find gifts that are like meaningful and like, you know, that bring back memories and stuff like that. So when I go and look for certain things, like my little brother, he's younger than I am. So, like, I like to get him what he wants. So, if he asks for a game or something like that. This year, he asked me for a PS4. And, I mean, keep in mind, I'm a college student. But PS4s right now are running for, I don't know how much.
Cheap. Like,
really? How much?
It's cheaper than an Xbox One.
Okay, yeah, but still. Well, my significant other asked me for an Xbox One. So, I mean, I'm kind of struggling right now. we'll see what happens, but things do tend to get very, very expensive. And I think it's because, you know, companies know that, you know, people are going to buy their significant others, families, you know, whatever, the gifts that they want because of the holiday season, at least, you know, the gifts that they can't afford. But unfortunately, you know, I'm finding little holes in my wallet every now and then.
Well, hope we can get it together over there. So that has been our Real Feel. You have been listening to Penguin Radio here on radio.dominican.edu. When we come back, we'll be talking about the hot and hot gifts that people have received, and also what is the best gift to give to someone. So stay tuned. We are back on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Unspoken. So the hot and not list. So this is the list of some things that family members have gotten for each other. So the first on the list is an electric bug vacuum, a bread maker, a toilet seat, a bag of cotton balls and dental floss, their own gift bag, an ugly Christmas sweater, and condoms. So your thoughts on the not list for family members?
You know... I would definitely, I mean, I think any gift I give my family members, they'd be somewhat appreciative of it. But definitely not, yeah, that's just, no, no. I have no words.
So if you had to pick one item off this list, which one would you pick if you had to pick one?
If I had to pick
one? You want me to repeat them
for you? Yes, please.
Electric bug vacuum, a bread maker, a toilet seat, a bag of cotton balls and dental floss, your own gift bag, ugly Christmas sweater, or condoms. You give me dead air right now.
Just it was well, it was a bread maker.
A bread maker, yeah.
Like to make bread.
Yeah.
I think I would give that.
You that's what you would want, a bread maker.
Oh, what I would want. Yeah. Oh yeah, I like to cook, so I mean to make my own bread, that'd be pretty cool.
I wouldn't want.
Or cotton balls because, well, I like to do my nails.
Yeah, maybe I'd get a toilet seat because it may be fresh, and you know everybody don't, you know, clean the same.
Is this like a portable toilet seat that you could take with you to a restaurant and like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Would you take it? I would take it. Everybody don't clean the same, so I would take that toilet seat real quick. Because everybody don't shower, you know, back to front.
That's what they got the toilet seat covers for. You got to just, like, layer, like, five of them, though.
But you ain't got a toilet seat at your house. Or you ain't got a toilet seat at certain restaurants.
Don't let people use toilet seat covers.
See, that's why you don't do that. I would take that toilet seat real quick. So, those are some of the extra things people have gotten from family members. And I just feel like some of these people are ungrateful, because who wouldn't want a toilet seat or a bag of cotton balls? I mean, I like cotton balls. I like dental floss. You know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. It helps, you know, your teeth be stronger or whatever. But anyways, I'm just kidding, because those gifts are terrible. Except the bread maker. I mean, who doesn't like bread? So moving on to the family hot list and what is the best gift to get to a family member. So the hot list: an Apple TV, personal popcorn machine or ice cream maker, classic board games, a collage of photos, any form of any shape, like a heart, you know, a circle, whatever, square, a cruise, a TV series, like, you know, maybe Rizzoli and Isles, Friends, just the whole season on, you know, whatever, DVD, and a Netflix subscription. And I want to point this out. Somebody actually gave their grandpa a Pornhub subscription. And I don't know how I feel about that. Your thoughts on this? They said that was a good gift to give to somebody, a family member.
No. So, no.
Your thoughts on the hot list?
The hot list, my family actually has an Apple TV, and it's great. You know, you can put all of your, anything that's, like, on your iCloud and everything on there. So after, like, we have a party or anything like that, all of our photos from our iCloud and our phones go straight to the Apple TV. And, like, the next day we usually, like look at all the photos and, like, the fun times we had, which is nice. Board games are always fun. We always have, you know, like, family fun nights in my house. So board games are a good idea. Popcorn and ice cream, I guess, is good. I mean, when we have movie nights and stuff like that, you know, there's always popcorn. What was the last one?
TV series, like, you know, Rizzoli and Isles collection, DVD
That's
collection.
Good. I mean, if your family likes to watch stuff together, you can start a whole new season of something together, and that could be, like, your bonding time. And then a Netflix subscription, I mean, hey, that's nice. It's only $8 a month, too. I mean, I guess it's a continuous birthday.
I guess it's like Christmas. A gift card or something, you know, like $50. I don't know. I don't know what they got. Oh. I mean, because, you know, I'm already on Netflix, so I ain't got to worry about all that. So, I mean, personally, I like getting, like, TV series or, like, movies. Like, mm-hmm. For Christmas, I want the Brandy and Whitney Houston Cinderella DVD. I want Burlesque on DVD. Mm-hmm. I like A Walk to Remember on DVD with Mandy Moore. Mm-hmm. I would love, like, getting movies, because those are the kind of movies I watch all the time. Hercules. If I can get Hercules on DVD, because, you know,
you
see me singing all the time. I mean, I maybe in, like, stores, like, all the VHSs I've had as a kid are, like, collecting dust right now. But Mulan and all those, A Bug's Life is kind of boring to me. As I started growing up, I was like, it's kind of boring now. But, you know, just, like, classic movies and stuff would be great. I'm not into, like, classic board games except Monopoly. I mean, any board game I play with my family is probably, like, Apples to Apples. I don't know if you ever played that game.
Isn't it kind of like Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, but, like, for all family members, and doesn't have, like, you know, things that little kids should be reading.
The promiscuity and everything in there. Got it.
But classic board games is good. A cruise, that would be great. I don't like water in particular, so I wouldn't take the cruise thing, because I'd be scared I would drown. It'd be a Titanic all over again, so I'm not feeling the whole cruise thing. But Apple TV, my brother actually has an Apple TV, and it's really good. Like you said, it's a really fun thing. You can watch all the shows you want, all the movies you want, get Netflix, Pandora, all that stuff, YouTube, whatever the case may be. But yeah, what one item would you pick off this list?
For my family?
Yeah, just for you.
For me, I mean, I would love an Apple TV for myself. Yeah. But probably the ice cream maker. Or ice cream maker, because I love ice cream, but then Netflix, so I don't have to use my roommates anymore.
That's true. I mean, and you told me, like, the other day that people particularly buy more ice cream or in the
winter.
In the winter, so yeah. Because we went and got ice cream yesterday. It was so good. I had cotton candy and rainbow sherbet. It was so good.
I had chocolate malted crunch.
Nobody cares. So moving forward. Now, these are better gifts, and I promise you will be getting smiles all over people's faces if you give a gift like these to anybody in your family. Well, besides the fact that the whole family's together, which I think that's my mom's favorite gift, just having all her kids in one place. I think my mom loves that much more than presents. And I do enjoy it, too. I love seeing my brother. I don't get to see him a lot. I think I saw him, like, once, because I went to his football game. We FaceTime all the time or whatever. And I don't know if he's going to be at home at the same time. I'm going to be home for Christmas break. So that would be cool.
Yeah.
But
I have to agree with that. I mean, my older brother's in the Navy, and we don't see each other very often. But during the holidays, he makes it a point to take his leave during the holidays and my birthday, because they all kind of mesh up in one. And so he'll be home soon, and I'll be home soon. I'm excited, and I think my parents value that more than anything.
No, that's what parents like the most. I mean, as you grow up, you don't want presents anymore. You just want to be around your parents. Like, I just want to be around my mom because I miss her so much. I don't get to see her, and she don't get to come out here a lot to my games and things like that. Even though she says she would, but that's another story. Yeah, I hope you're listening, mother, because, yeah, I'm calling you out a little bit. But anyways, now it's time for the juicy part, the not list for spouses. These are actual gifts people have received from their spouses. So, an exercise ball, which I feel like that's a no-no because you're trying to drop a hint or something. I don't think that's okay. Cookware, granny panties, a fake diamond, an acne solution kit, a D in a box. If you've never seen the D in the box thing on a, what is it? Come on, SNL, I think it is. SNL?
Saturday
Night Live? So, yeah. Okay. They did the D in the box little skit thing. And yeah, no. And lingerie. Now, I feel like, you know, fellas can do a lot more better than the D in the box thing, because that's not just not going to fly anymore. Because, I mean, this in this day and age, that's kind of getting old. And unless a woman asks you to buy lingerie, don't assume that that's something they want, and don't buy it unless they buy it for themselves. So, your thoughts on this list, the not list?
The not list. I personally have never even heard of the D in the box. I'm not a big fan of SNL. When I do watch it, I watch it like when Justin Timberlake's on there, and that's about it.
He did the skit.
Oh, well, I didn't watch that episode. But, yeah, so not a fan of the D in the box. Lingerie, I definitely don't think that anyone should be buying their spouse lingerie unless they ask for it. Or, I mean, I guess depends on, like, I think Christmas is the wrong occasion. Maybe Valentine's Day, I guess it kind of fits a little bit more. But yeah, those, I mean, an exercise ball, no. Maybe like workout clothes, you know, like that's something you could wear. It's kind of like yoga pants. It's kind of like not too much, but an exercise ball is kind of dropping it. My dad actually bought my mom an exercise machine before for Christmas, and I don't know how well that went over, and I don't know if I want to know how well that went over. I mean, she still has it and she uses it, so I mean, I guess that's good.
Yeah, I guess that's good. I mean, hey, but if you had to pick an item off this list, what would you pick?
I think I would pick to give to my significant other.
Yeah, if you had to pick one. So, ooh, pick. It's not that hard.
I think I would do the exercise ball, just because my significant other likes exercise. At least I think she does.
Okay.
Well, if not cookware, that means I can give it to her and be like, I'll cook for you. So here's this, which is actually for me, but okay. There you go.
All right. So the hot list for spouses. So typically these are things that, you know, people usually give their spouses, and these are great gifts to give spouses. As always, diamonds are a girl's best friend. So any type of jewelry would be great. And getting a watch too, you know, your man friend or whatever you want to call them nowadays, or even a wallet, like accessories, that would be great. A coupon to go to a spa, like get a massage or something. I personally gave my significant other a coupon book with, like, oh, we can listen to whatever radio station you want to listen to in the car. I'll give you a foot massage or some, you know, weird stuff like that, whatever the case may be. And also another one was giving them a daycation, even though, you know, maybe they don't have time to get off work and go on an actual vacation. So just giving them a daycation on the weekend would be good. You know, clothes, shoes, purse, that's always good gifts to give to anybody, to your spouse in particular. Your thoughts on the hot list?
I mean, those all work perfectly. The daycation, I think, is actually, like, the best one, just because I personally like spending time with my spouse. And so to be able to, like, just chill, or, like, go out and then chill after, like, I think that's what I like the most. I mean, don't get me wrong, jewelry is nice, too. And, like, the other things are nice as well. But, I mean, daycation's nice. The coupon book that I received was awesome, too. So thank you for that.
That's the hot list, ladies and gentlemen. So keep that in mind when you're going shopping for family and spouses. I'm DJ Spoken here on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California, and I'll be right back. I absolutely love that song. We are back on radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to Keeping It Real, Talking to Phil. I'm DJ Unspoken. So speaking on songs, these are the best Christmas songs of all time. So it's the top 20 Christmas songs list that you will never get tired of hearing, apparently. Number 20 is The Little Drummer Boy and Peace on Earth. I think any version of this song is really good. I don't particularly like, you know, the original version. I like the soul and R&B version of this song. Number 19 is Christmas Time is Here. Number 18 is What Christmas Means to Me, covered by CeeLo Green. O Come Emmanuel by John Mason Neal. Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. What? Please Come Home for Christmas. Carols of the Bells, 2,000 Miles. Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto, which I absolutely love, by James Brown. Finally, some soul on this list. You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Christmas Rapping, not like actual like beatbox rapping, but like present rapping. We Three Kings, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which we just listened to. I'll Be Home for Christmas. Fairy Tale of New York. Oh, Holy Night. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And number one is White Christmas. So your thoughts on this top 20 Christmas list here?
There's a couple that I know and that I recognize. I don't agree with half of these. I don't think I've heard half of them. Or maybe I have. I just don't like them. Or I don't care to really listen to them. But I do like some of them. So it's all good, I guess. Not my top 10, but yeah, it's all good.
So some of these songs I've never heard of, just like Karina just said. But here's my list of the best Christmas songs. So number one is the first song we listened to on my intro, This Christmas by Donny Hathaway. Number two is I Saw Mom and Kissing Santa Claus by the Jackson 5. Let It Snow by Boyz II Men. White Christmas by Otis Redding. Give Love on Christmas Day by Johnny Gill. Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. Santa Baby by Eartha Kitt. 8 Days of Christmas by Destiny's Children. Someday at Christmas by Stevie Wonder. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Temptations version. So how do you like my list? I think it's so much better.
Well, I definitely have not really heard any Christmas soul music, quote unquote, what you told me. But last night, you introduced me to it. And I mean, you were getting down to it. And it was actually pretty good. So I definitely like your list.
It's better than Feliz Navidad.
I beg to differ, but
go ahead.
But I have my top 10 as well. So
you want to read your top 10 list here?
I will. I'll read my top 10 list. So my top 10 is Let It Snow, Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer, I'll Be Coming Home for Christmas, Silent Night, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, All I Want for Christmas is You, Feliz Navidad, Baby It's Cold Outside, Winter Wonderland, and It's the Most Wonderful Time of Year.
Yeah, her list is whack.
It's not, but it's the classics, but it's all good.
Like she said, no, most of the songs that's on my list she never heard until I played for them last night. But Santa Claus is Coming to Town, you're talking about the Jackson 5s?
Mm-hmm.
Jackson 5. There's five of them, not fives of them. Grandma Got Ran Over by Reindeer is a really good song. I like that. Let It Snow, which version of that? Because I know Lady Gaga did a remake in a commercial.
Not Lady Gaga's and not Boyz II Men. I mean, but the Boyz II Men one was really good, but I don't know his name, but it's like the original one.
Okay, you're lame. All I Want for Christmas is You by Mariah Carey.
Yes.
I hate that song.
What? Why?
I don't like her.
See, I don't like her as a person, but I like her. I don't like all of her music either, but I like some of her music.
Oh no, Lady Gaga didn't do Let It Snow. She did the Baby It's Cold Outside remake.
Oh yes, she did,
and that was really good. Mm-hmm. I really liked that one. It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, really.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you would put Feliz Navidad on there.
Yes, hello. And you see my background.
Why I didn't pick one of those songs to play on my show today, because that's lame.
Okay, you're the definition of lame. Out of here. Let's be honest.
The definition of what?
Lame.
Definitely. So those are the top 20 Christmas songs. I really particularly didn't like any of them except the two R&B and soul ones on there, Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Santa Claus Going Straight to the Ghetto by James Brown. I really never heard of any of these songs, especially Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. Why would you fight on Christmas?
You know what, I asked my family that same thing, so I don't know.
Does your family fight on Christmas?
We don't see
prying to personal nosy.
I wouldn't necessarily say fight. I just feel like, and it's really not Christmas. My family fights every day. It's not even fighting. It's just like, you know, everyone wants to be right. Everyone wants to make their point. I mean, we're Puerto Rican. Everyone's loud. Everyone has their opinion. And everyone's just kind of crazy. So, I don't know. Sometimes we're talking and people are like, why are you yelling? We're like, we're just talking. It's, I don't know.
So, like, what kind of, do you have any traditions that y'all have over for Christmas?
We do, actually. So, beware. Or not beware, but brace yourself because there's kind of a lot. I would say the 23rd, all the girls on my mom's side of the family come over and we throw on some Christmas music and we make tamales. And we probably make about like 300 to 400 because, you know, we like send them out to like family and friends. So that's like one of the things we do. We also make buñuelos, which is like a sweet fried tortilla with like cinnamon sugar on top of it. It's, they're actually really good. I'm going to try to bring some back. I don't know if they'll let me take it on the plane though. But so yeah, we do that, and that's like, we actually like roll out everything. Everything's like freshly made. It's kind of crazy. It takes up like forever. And then the 24th of Christmas, we go to my dad's friend's house, who is Cuban. And what in our religion, or not in religion, sorry, in our culture, what we do is we roast a pig in the backyard. So it's very, I guess, authentic. We roast a pig in the backyard, and then, you know, we party and dance the rest of the night, and then once midnight hits, my dad's friend's wife is very religious, so we sing happy birthday to Jesus, or baby Jesus, and then like a little baby Jesus goes passing around, and yeah, it's kind of what we do. And then the day of actual Christmas, everyone comes over to my house, and it's kind of like a chill day. It's like my mom's side of the family comes over, and it's like everyone's in their pajamas and like playing board games and stuff and just relaxing, eating the tamales we made and all that good stuff. And then New Year's is a whole nother thing, but yeah.
I don't even get to spend New Year's with my family. I'm kind of depressed.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
But our family, I think we just kind of do mix it up, whatever, like have a potluck or something, mm-hmm. or like have Mexican theme or like soul food, or I know my aunt, my nanny brings brisket all the time. That's her special dish or whatever. But that's what she does. That's what she brings. And my mom makes the broccoli rice cheese casserole, and everything's just good. I mean, I enjoy being home with my family. I know sometimes we argue, but I mean, mainly it's just me, my brother and sister that argue all the time. I don't think really anybody else argues as much as we do, but I feel like we've grown up from that. And we just be like, whatever, we just annoy each other.
I think it's more of like when I go to New York to my dad's side of the family, like with all the Puerto Ricans, and it's just like crazy. Like Thanksgiving was ridiculous. It was like an art. And it's just, it's not even like arguing, people being mad at each other. It was just like, I guess it was over stupid stuff. And my mom always says, if you argue over dumb stuff with whoever it may be, that's kind of better than arguing over something big that like can potentially ruin your relationship with whoever it may be. But yeah, I mean, Christmas time during the holidays, it's kind of my favorite kind of time because you get to have everybody there with amazing food and good time. So
okay, so hey, we're going into a break, but stay tuned as I will be recapping my shows and talking about something I've learned and things that really stuck with me. You'll be listening to Pingin Radio here on radio.dominican.edu. So enjoy this song.
It's that once a year when the world find a way to show you the things that words can frame. Why don't you give love on Christmas Day? The man on the street, the couple upstairs, wants you to know there's someone who cares.
Give love
on Christmas.
We are back here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Unspoken. So let's talk about my shows and all the ups and downs I have experienced. So my first show, I talked about entertainment. And I talked about Drake and Serena Williams and Drake and Meek Mill's beef and Future and Drake. So I talked a lot about Drake in my first show. I don't know why. I really don't like him that much like that. I don't even know him like that. And I talked about Kanye West's like clothing line, which, you know, looks like Walking Dead material. And I thought that was just all kinds of terrible. Then for my second show, I talked about LGBT and Dominican University. And I think that's the first show you came on when I talked about that.
Yes.
And what really stuck with you about that show?
I think just the fact of the whole LGBT community. I mean, I've joined that community. And I just think everything talking about that, I definitely think talking about, you know, if you're in need of someone to talk to, if you feel like you can't talk to any of your friends, or if you don't have a club on campus and stuff like that, going out and trying to find people who you can talk to, whether it's counseling, whether it's, you know, a support group. I think that really stuck to me, and it probably stuck to most of your listeners too, because as we kind of mentioned yesterday in your senior thesis presentation, you know, letting people know what, you know, can be done, or what, you know, that there's people who are there with them, they have a support group that can help someone, definitely. So, yeah.
And I talked about like the religious aspect here on campus, and that I know they don't have, you know, they're not a religious school, but they have that affiliation, mm-hmm. which also kind of hinders people from coming out here on campus. I think more so that we're tolerated than accepted, mm-hmm. just because people view things differently. I know back home in the South, it's very close-minded people, and you know, people of African-American backgrounds typically are not very open-minded about their child being homosexual and things like that. But being out here on Dominican campus, I feel like I can be more open. I can be myself than back home in Texas, where mm-hmm. I can't be myself. I kind of gotta hide it or like hinder myself from being so open about who I am. But that really stuck with me, just being here on the mini campus in that club. Pride Club here is, I don't know if it's still going on or anything like that, but that would be a great thing to start up for people, for new freshmen coming in, and just people here in general that's been here for a while. So mm-hmm. my third show was Life After the Game, and how 98% of athletes who don't make it into professional leagues have to make quick adjustments to the real world. And did you join me for that show? I don't think you joined me for that show. I think you left me high and dry. Thanks for that, buddy. So you really don't have too much to say about this. So anyways, so that really stuck with me, because I particularly want to go overseas and play. I want to particularly get paid for something that I'm very good at, so I can go back to school and get my degree and become a veterinarian or animal cop. That's something I really want to be passionate. I know I'm a communications media study major right now, and it has made me a little bit more of an extrovert, because I have to talk to people. I have to be able to communicate in different ways with different type of people, and it's given me a lot of connections. So I feel like that's been okay. I mean, that's the thing that stuck with me the most, but I'm trying to be in that 2% so I can make some money, take care of my mom, take care of myself, have 67 dogs around my house in a big open field, have a house that I can have my family come and visit me and stuff like that, because I'm not trying to be up under my mom for the rest of my life, even though she loves me dearly. I'm her favorite child, because that's, I mean, obvious. I mean, come on now. But I'm not trying to live with my mom the rest of my life, so that particular segment, because I'm just really trying to get that 2%. So the fourth show, I talked about Black Lives Matter and Donald Trump. And were you on that show with
me? I was on that show.
You was not?
I was.
Oh, you was. I don't remember. It's been so long ago. You know, I was a rookie then. I don't remember stuff. Now I'm kind of a professional. I'm saying I'm kind of good at this. Mm-hmm. So I talked about the Black Lives Matter movement and some things that Donald Trump has said about that the Black Lives Matter group has been starting trouble because we're allowing them to get away with some sort of type of racism, because they're saying that their lives matter more than other people's lives. But if you look in the media and the news, that mainly African Americans have been gunned down by Caucasian police officers. So Black lives do matter. It's not saying that all lives don't matter, but right now we're saying Black lives matter because look what's happening in the media. Your thoughts on that show? What really stuck with you?
We also, Black Lives Matter is a big movement, and it's been going on for I don't know how long now. I mean, I don't think it's ever really, you know, not been a problem. And I think that stuck with me a lot, as well as, you know, he made the comment about the whole, you know, what he thinks the ideal Mexican is. And we spoke on that, and I'm not a fan of him. So, I mean, I don't want to give him all the publicity he can get. So I'm just really not going to talk about him.
Okay, well, that's good on you for you and, you know, your people.
That's really good. So that was you.
So my fifth show, I talked about family, traditional families, single parent families, and same sex families. And me being part of the LGBTQ community, I'm probably going to be a same sex parent. And I particularly don't want to have a child because I think I work really hard for this body that I have. And I really don't want to mess it up, even though, you know, childbirth is a beautiful thing in its own, but it's just not for me. I'm not for or ready to be pushing anything out of me right now, or have anything growing in me, because I just can't do it. I really can't. Unless it's a food baby, I'm good. But other than that, I can't push out and give life to something, because that is just, I don't know. I can't right now. But your thoughts on the whole family show?
Family, like I said, is extremely important to me, whether it's same sex, heterosexual, single parent, families are families. And at the end of the day, I like to think that your family is going to be there for you no matter what. In terms of me having my own family, I am part of the LGBT community. So who knows, what my future holds. But I do intend on at least having one kid. So we'll see how that works.
And another thing that stuck with me with the family topic is that, you know, my mom being a single parent, she's done so much and has, you know, raised three kids, and all of us are in college, and me and my brother are graduating next semester, and she's done a really good job. And I don't feel like her being a single parent has made us miss out on anything that mm-hmm. having two parents in a household would. We've got everything we needed. I mean, I always got everything we wanted, but we always had everything we needed. We got a good quality education. We're both in college. We're both on scholarships. So I think we're doing very well for ourselves. And I think single parents, having that single parent has made me more independent and more knowledgeable about things in the world than having two parents, because that's two different, you know, ideas and thoughts of how things should be ran and things in the family. I feel like just having that, my mom particularly has given me a well-rounded idea of thought of what's really going on in the world. Your thoughts on, you know, single parents or traditional? I know you have a traditional family household.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I tend to lean more towards my mom just because my mom knows everything about me. And, I mean, she's always the one. Me and my dad butt heads more, and I think it's because we're a little bit more alike. But, I mean, I agree with you in terms of, you know, your mom did a great job of raising you, your brother, and your sister. But I also have to think that, you know, my parents did a great job of raising me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've made my mistakes and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I think that my parents have given me everything that I've needed in terms of, you know, being the person that I am today, making me who I am, or, you know, helping me in my journey of becoming who I am.
Well, kudos to Hector and your mom there.
Hector and Leticia.
Leticia, what? Okay. You got a little soul in her, a little bit soul. Okay. So the sixth show, we talked about women in the workplace and how women are very independent and sometimes they can be looked down upon by their male counterpart. So anything particular stuck with you about that? I know you asked the question, what's your favorite position? And some are saying CEO and things like that. You mm-hmm. gave me that article, which was really good and helped my show a lot. Your thoughts on the women?
As everyone knows, I'm like pro-feminist and I'm pro-woman. I definitely, I grew up with all guys in my family. So it was really prominent to me to like always be like, I can do exactly the same thing, if not better than what you can do. So I definitely, that show was everything. I plan on being a CEO or, you know, the head of something. I just plan on being the boss in my future. So I hopefully, you know, one day that'll come true. But I think that, you know, as a woman, we should strive to be the best. And equality is definitely something that we're missing in the world, not only in terms of race, but in terms of gender as well. And I think the other day you asked me if... there was like something we had seen and it was like, if gender wasn't taught, would the world be a better place or something like that?
If gender wasn't taught?
Yeah. Or like if kids didn't know gender or something. You saw,
oh, yeah. I remember what I said. If you wouldn't have to, if you didn't put a label on your child or say, oh, you're a boy or a girl, what would they grow up to be? Would they grow up to be like, live to that stereotype that people put on them, like you have to be tough because you're a dude, you can't mm-hmm. cry, or you're a girl, you have to be soft, you have to be at home, you have to bear the children and things like that. Like, what would they grow up to be and not live up to the stereotype society put on them? Mm-hmm. Like, could they just grow up and be whoever they wanted to be?
Yeah, I definitely, and when, you know, I heard that, I've thought about it every day since, and it's actually really crazy. I do think that in terms of biology, they need to learn about, you know, the organs and everything,
yeah,
like that,
of course.
But in terms of, you know, being out there in society, I don't think that it should, the social norms shouldn't be taught,
because I know they have the new term, the gender fluid, mm-hmm. fluidity, and you can just be whatever, dress how you want to dress, you don't have to identify as a certain gender, you can just be whatever you want to be. Mm-hmm. You can wake up one day and dress like a girl. If you're a guy, you can wake one day and dress like a dude if you're a girl, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't matter. So your thoughts, go ahead.
Oh, no. I don't like whenever, like, I'm taking a survey or, like, you know, anything, and they, like, ask for gender, and it's, like, male, female, and that's it. Like, you should at least have, like, an other, you know, thing on there. And I saw that the other day. I was, like, scrolling through something, and I was, like, I think I was, like, buying something online or something, and it was, like, male, female, and then there was, like, no other, and I got so mad. I mean, I identify as female, but I was just, like, what about those who don't? Like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
But...
So the seventh show was about bullying, and the subtopics were cyberbullying, the effects that bullying has on kids and adults, and suicide. The thing, all those things that lead up to bullying, like with anorexia and bulimia and depression, can all lead to suicide. So what really stuck with you with that show?
I think that whole show stuck with me just because I've had a little cousin who has been bullied. So I've kind of, you know, been through that with him. I also have, I know somebody who's been bulimic. And, you know, I know to this day she still struggles with, you know, positive body thoughts and stuff like that. Body image, sorry. And I just hope that, you know, one day everything is going to be good, and I think it will. But I think that whole thing's suicide. There's been a lot of suicides in my life, you know, that I've seen in family and with friends. So I think that whole show just stuck with me, as I'm sure it stuck with you as well.
Yeah. So the eighth show was about relationships, and I know you had a show last year. It was what was it called?
Sweet Talk with DJ Honey.
Yeah, whatever. So you talked about relationships a lot on your show. Mm-hmm. So I talked about the three stages of love and how to keep the relationship thriving, and then like the negative sides of the relationship as well, the toxic relationships and, you know, domestic violence and things like that. And if you're going through that, you should get out and get help and don't stay in that situation, because you're not only harming yourself, you can be harming your family. Just seeing you go through that can also harm your family as well. What stuck with you on that show?
I don't quite remember exactly what it was called, but it was like the, I guess, certain types of steps or something. It was like quality time versus quantity time and like things like that. I think that stuck with me most just because I'm the type of person, I'm, I guess what you can call needy or whatever. Like, I like to be with my partner like 24/7. I like to spend as much time with them and do all that. So, and I know my partner gets like annoyed with me 24/7. So, just like knowing like certain like boundaries I need to set for not only myself to better myself, but to better our relationship as well and stuff like that. I think that stuck with me the most.
Yeah, I think the three stages of love was really good. The, you know, what is it? The romantic stage, the stage that the honeymoon phase, and then the second stage was like
the mature.
No, the mature love was the last stage. I forget what the second one was. It's like, this is the second stage where relationships are make it or break it, because you start to realize your partner has flaws. You don't idolize them as much. Mm-hmm. So relationships just go through it pretty much. So that's really stuck with me. I like the three stages of love and things like that. And yeah, sometimes I feel like my girlfriend's kind of clingy, so she needs to get it together. So the ninth show, I talked about entertainment and hard news with the whole thing that happened in Paris and Kenya and Mexico, and how the media is particularly focused on Paris and not so much Kenya and Mexico, because I feel like they're more into the Caucasians. You know, when you see a Caucasian child goes missing, they're more likely to get headline news and things like that. Mm-hmm. But when something happens to a minority, they don't get as much news, or it doesn't even make the news.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was an issue that America is still faced today with just racism in general. And I also talked about Caitlyn Jenner, her winning the Woman of the Year award and people giving back their awards, because technically they don't think that she is the Woman of the Year, even though she came out as transgender. People before her have done it, like Laverne Cox has done it, and you don't see her getting reward for it. Why? You know, and she's African American. I feel like that's a problem as well, because she was there before Caitlyn Jenner. He was been on a show. So I don't understand why she didn't get an award for that. What's up with you on that show?
I think the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing is just because I talk about it a lot with, like, I talked about it with my roommate. I talk about it with peers, friends, you know, colleagues, stuff like that. And it's interesting to hear other people's thoughts on it, just because everyone does have their own opinion, and sometimes it's a skewed opinion. But fortunately, you know, or unfortunately, this is the world we live in, and everyone's always going to have their opinion, no matter what, whether you like it or not. So I guess that's just something that I guess we have to deal with. And, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is a public figure. She knows that. And before she was also a public figure, she was Bruce Jenner, and she was an athlete. So she, you know, she should know what is going to, what's coming her way.
Yeah, I'm completely for Caitlyn Jenner just, you know, helping those in the transgender community be more confident in themselves and in their own skin. And I just feel like the media should bring more equality into the news, especially just what the things happened in Kenya, and also the things that's going on in Mexico with the hurricane and the earthquake and things like that. I mean, I know what happened in Paris is very devastating, but giving all that headline and news time to that one story and forgetting about others, I don't think that's fair. So that really stuck with me on the show. And that I brought about the thought of privilege in that as well, because I did the privilege walk with my class, and I seen that mostly all the minorities are in the back and all the people of fair skin were in the front. So I also brought that up in my show. You have something to say?
I was just going to say that I feel like, you know, with Paris and everything that's going on right now, all the terrorism and, you know, extreme events, that it's also made us a little bit, I guess, on our toes. I remember the other day we were in the business office and we heard something outside in the lobby, and we got like kind of scared because it wasn't something that sounded quite, you know, we heard someone yelling and like a big boom. So we were a little nervous. But yeah, I just think everything has to be more prevalent and more like the news has to prioritize what's more important, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had some great times here in the studio, and I will miss it for sure. It was fun and a great learning experience, as I've grown so much from my first few shows till now, because I know I was stuttering left and right on my first few shows. But your thoughts on everything?
I mean, everything, me being here, thank you for having me, but it was fun. We covered a lot of fun topics. We covered a lot of interesting and, you know, real topics. I mean, hence your show, Real Talk and all that good stuff. So it was good. I enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed yourself, and I hope all the listeners enjoyed.
Yeah, so we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, it's that time again, and for the last time, Real Words of the Day. This is radio.dominican.edu, so stay tuned.
You know, Christmas was made for the cheering. Destiny's Child. G Christmas. Destiny's Child. Day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a pair of Chloe shades and a diamond belly ring. On the seventh day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a nice back rub, then he massaged my feet. On the sixth day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a crop jacket with dirty denim jeans. On the fifth day of Christmas, my baby gave to me the point that he wrote for me. Feel so in love, la, 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 love. If he only knew what he does to me, my man, baby.
Oh, it makes it.
I'm so in la 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 love. How I love him for his generosity. My man, my man, my baby.
Doesn't it feel like Christmas?
It feels lovely.
Doesn't it feel like Christmas?
It feels so lovely.
Doesn't it feel like Christmas?
Whoa. Christmas, my baby gave to me a candlelit dinner just for me and my honey. On the third day of Christmas, my baby gave to me a gift certificate to get my favorite CDs. On the second day of Christmas, my baby gave to me the keys to a CLK Mercedes. On the first day of Christmas, my baby gave to me quality T.I.M.E.
Feeling it up, feels so good, feels so in love, love, love.
If he only knew what he does to me, my man, my baby.
This is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. So, real words of the day. Real words of the day, do the best you can till you know better. Then when you know better, do better. Those words are brought to you by Maya Angelou, which is great words from a great woman. And I absolutely love the quote. Your thoughts on the quote?
I love the quote. I mean, it's right.
Let me read to you one more time. Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. And I say that all the time. I say that, but I don't say that full quote.
No, you say.
You do better, you do better. So be better.
No.
Yes, I do. How you going to tell me? How you going to
tell
me?
No, what do you say?
No, anyway. So
don't be sorry. Be better.
No.
Yes, that's what you say.
What's I say to you? Because you always say I'm sorry. Okay, get over it. Whatever. This experience here on Penguin Radio has been a great one. I thank you all for tuning in, and a special thanks to Karina for helping me on dang near every show, and as well as all the Facebook help with the topics from family and friends. A really big thanks to my mother for every word of wisdom and comments, which made my show so much better. I thank you, Leona Stu, for the opportunity and the growth. And I wish everyone a happy holiday. And thank you for listening to me, DJ Unspoken. And as always, stay real, y'all.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys. Playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at
us, there'll be no wars when we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth.